We are today continuing our series, One Another, and the importance of living in community with one another and the importance of going out of our way to really live out the principles that God has laid forth in His Word and over and over and over again all the things that He tells us to do for one another. I have the poster here on the next slide, and you see it on the door as you go out. Again, all of these one another's that are listed in the New Testament that we are to do in community as we live out the Christian life. And as we began a couple weeks ago with this series, we talked about the importance of loving one another and how that's really the foundation of all the other one another's, that I cannot put into practice all the other one another's unless I love one another. And then last week we talked about how we are to encourage one another. If I love you, I'm going to encourage you. And we learned there last week the importance of not just encouraging each other, but the writer of Hebrews told us there that we are to encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, that we are to go out of our way every single day and find ways to encourage one another. Today we're talking about something that sometimes is a little hard for us, but really is found in that foundation of love, and that is forgiving one another. And again, that's one of the ones that might be a little hard for you. It's a little hard for all of us that when we're hurt, when somebody does something against us, that sometimes it's just hard for us to forgive one another. It happened several years ago. Two brothers, Alvin and Lyle Strait, they were in their 70s at this point. But however, something had happened in their life. They were brothers, but they had not spoken to each other for a number of years. They now lived a few states away from each other, and Alvin heard that his younger brother, Lyle, had suffered a stroke, and they weren't sure if he was going to live. And so Alvin knew that he needed to go and he needed to express his forgiveness to his brother. However, at 73 years of age, he no longer had a driver's license due to his eyesight. And so when you can't drive a car, the next logical thing you do is you drive your lawnmower. And so Alvin Strait got on his lawnmower, his 1966 John Deere lawnmower, made a little trailer for it, and he drove 500 miles on his lawnmower to see his brother. It took him 6 weeks to make the journey, traveling at the top speed of 5 miles per hour, having to stop several times for repairs on his lawnmower. He would stop and he would camp out in people's backyards or parks and places where people would show him hospitality on the way. But yet he drove 500 miles. And he said, as he was making the journey, he said, "My greatest fear is that I'll be too late, that I won't be able to find forgiveness with my brother. He may die before I get there." Alvin Strait made it in time, and he walked into the house, and he saw his brother, whom he had not spoken to for 10 years. And they embraced one another, and they forgave one another. Alvin was asked in an interview, he said, "Well, what happened to you?" He said, "What happened between us, the story is as old as Cain and Abel. There was rage and there was anger, and you mix that with alcohol and you got two brothers who haven't spoken to each other in 10 years." But Alvin said this, he said, "There was nothing that was going to stop me from forgiving my brother." And as what Alvin did there and how he went out of his way to forgive his brother reminds me of what God has done for us. God has forgiven us. He did everything he could to demonstrate his love. He went out of his way. He sent Jesus Christ to the earth to die on the cross so that we as sinful people could be forgiven. And then he calls us, you and I, today to forgive one another. All of us, at some point or another in our lives, have had to make a decision: are we going to forgive someone else? Maybe you grew up in a home in which your parents criticized you constantly, and you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to forgive? Maybe you've had somebody at your place of work who has sabotaged a project that you were on, and you've had to make a decision. Am I going to forgive? Maybe you've had a friend who has lied about you and stabbed you in the back, and you've had to make a decision. Am I going to forgive? Maybe your spouse has done something to you that you would say is unforgivable, but yet you're going to have to make the decision, am I going to forgive? All of us are going to have to answer that question. All of us at one point in our life or another, or at one point in our past, have had to make the decision, am I going to forgive? And unforgiveness is one of the most dangerous things that you can do in your own personal life. We know that unforgiveness will harm us spiritually. We know that unforgiveness will harm us relationally. We know that unforgiveness will harm us sometimes even physically. Somebody has said this, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because all we're doing is we are harming ourselves. And so that's why God tells us, He calls us to forgive one another. We're going to read this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul just spends a couple verses talking about the importance of forgiving one another. But just by way of background, I have a little picture here. It's the picture of Paul writing some of the epistles. Ephesians finds itself in some of the letters that he wrote that are called prison epistles. And so Ephesians and a couple other books in the Bible, Paul wrote these books while he was actually in prison. He was arrested just simply because of his faith. He ultimately lost his life because of his faith. And so here is Paul. He's sitting in prison. He's being unjustly accused for things that are false about him. And he begins to write some letters. And he writes one of these letters that he writes is Ephesians. And in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul just simply lays out some deep theological truths. First three chapters are a lot like if you were to go to seminary, that's great truths that you would learn about God and about man and about salvation. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, the second half of the letter that he writes, is really now, he says, practically, because all these things are true, because God is holy and we are sinful, and because God has redeemed us and given us salvation, this now is how we are to live our lives. And I just want you to think about this for a second. As Paul is sitting there in chains, he writes all these great theological truths, and then he comes to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is a man who's been unjustly accused for something. He's sitting in prison, and listen to the words that he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31. He says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Here he is, he's sitting in chains, and he's saying, put away all this anger and put away all the rage, put away all the bitterness, and now forgive one another. And so we're going to talk about this idea of forgiveness and the importance that it has in our life. And really, he just talks about two aspects, two decisions that you and I are going to have to make if we are really going to forgive one another. And the first one that he talks about here is, he says, put off resentment. Notice how he starts here in verse 37. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That word that he uses there for get rid in the original Bible language meant to send something off. It was a word that was used for cargo that was loaded onto a ship. And so if you owned a shipping company, you'd put your cargo on the ship, and then you would send it off to another country, to another place of the world. And that's the same word. Paul borrows that term here. He says, in the same way, take all of the baggage and all of the stuff that you've been carrying around and all the resentment and everything that's holding you back from forgiving others. He said, I want you to load that on, and I just want you to send it away. Get rid of all anger and rage and bitterness and brawling and slander. And look at what he says. He really divides this into two things. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Those are the feelings of resentment that well up inside of us, right? You know, that's that one person that maybe you haven't forgiven, or that one person that has done you wrong, and now every time you see them, every time somebody mentions their name, every time you see them drive, every time you see a car that looks exactly like the car they drive, right? You get those feelings that well up inside of you, rage and anger and bitterness. He says, get rid of those things. Get rid of the things. Get rid of that, those feelings of resentment that you have inside. But then he also says, and all brawling and slander. That's really just ultimately the outward expressions of the resentments that you're holding inside. Right? My resentments left unchecked is going to lead me to brawling and or slander. Brawling, we know what that is. We're physically going to fight. Or slander, that is just talking bad about somebody else. And so I'm going to say terrible things about them. And that's usually where most of us fall in when we have unforgiveness. Like, we'll talk about those people behind their back, and we'll make sure everybody knows what they have done to me. And this is the reason why I'm not forgiving them, because of all that they've done to me. And what we're trying to do is justify the feelings that we have inside. But notice what he says. He says, get rid. He said, pack all this stuff up, send it away. He says, get rid of all. He uses the word all. You know, I looked that up in the original Bible language. You know what the word means? All. You know, I looked it up in Spanish. You know what it means in Spanish? All. I looked it up in German. You know what it means in German? All. You get the idea. He means everything, all of it. You can't say, well, you know, I'm just a little bit angry at this person. Or I'm just going to hold on to a little bit of the bitterness. Or I'm only going to be rageful on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Okay? He says, no, not that. He says, I want you to get rid of all of it. He said, pack it all up. Get rid, put it all in a box, get it on the ship, and send it away. Get rid of all of this, all of the anger and the rage and the bitterness, the brawling and the slander. And then he says, if you didn't get my drift on all of those things, he said, and by the way, every form of malice. Malice is a word. Every time you just say malice, you know, if there's somebody you haven't forgiven, when you say the word malice, it kind of makes you feel better, because that word just sounds that way, right? That word malice means ill will towards somebody. It's the idea that what I want to do is harm this person. Okay? Either with my words or physically. And oftentimes it comes out this way, right? These people that we don't forgive, he says, get rid of all the bitterness, the rage and the anger, the brawling and the slander and every form of malice. Because many times what happens is these people that we're having trouble forgiving, or we decide not to forgive, right? We replay all of the arguments and all of the fighting and all the quarrels over in our mind, right? And as you're playing those things in your mind, what do you oftentimes say? Oh, I should have said this. Or when they said that, I should have said this in response. That's ill will. That's malice. Or sometimes we may not replay the conversations in our mind, but sometimes we'll say things like this. Well, I'm not going to forgive them, but you know what? One day they're going to get what they deserve. Or they're going to get what's coming to them. That is what this word malice encompasses. And so he says, if you didn't understand what I was talking about with rage and anger and bitterness and brawling and slander, he said, let me just cover it all with the idea of malice. And he says, get rid of all of it. Because he understands that when we hold on to that, ultimately, we're harming, we're hurting, we're damaging ourselves. Right? That person that we're not forgiving now has control over me. They control how I feel. They control what I think about. They control my emotions. And he said, get rid of all of this stuff. Live free of it. I read a story about a teacher who was trying to really teach her class about resentment and holding on to grudges. And so one day she said, I want all of you to bring a clear bag of potatoes to school. And so each student brought a bag of potatoes. And she said, all right, I want each of you to take out one potato and think about every person that you're holding a grudge towards, or you're being unforgiving, or you're being resentful towards. And I want you to take one potato and write a name on each of those potatoes for a person that you're holding a grudge to. And some students had one or two potatoes. Some of them had like a 55-pound bag of potatoes, and they all had names on them. And she said, now I want you to carry these potatoes around with you everywhere you go. And so for the next several weeks, they had to carry this bag of potatoes, and some were larger than others, but they all had potatoes that they were carrying around. She said, you need to take them with you everywhere. You have to put it beside your bed when you sleep. You have to carry them on your lap when you're riding on the bus. You have to put them in the seat next to you when you're riding in the car. You have to make sure you put them next to your desk in class. Make sure you carry them to lunch. Don't leave them anywhere or it might be embarrassing, but you've got to carry these every day with you. And then what happened? You know what happens with potatoes after a while. These potatoes started to get moldy, they started to smell funny, they started to sprout. And the idea that she was getting across was this, is that that is what happens inside of us when we hold on to resentment and grudges. It causes us to have stinky attitudes. And that's why Paul says, get rid of all of resentment. Get rid of all the resentments. Max Lucado, who writes a lot of books, he said it this way. He said, resentment is when you let your hurt become hate. Resentment is when you allow what is eating you to eat you up. Resentment is when you poke, stoke, feed, and fan the fire, stirring the flames and reliving the pain. Resentment is the deliberate decision to nurse the offense until it becomes a black, furry, growling grudge. Paul says, let go of it. Get rid of it. Because he understood, and you and I understand too, we understand the truth of this. Sometimes it's just hard to do. But it's like pulling the pin on a grenade, holding on to the grenade, and expecting the other person to blow up, when all we're doing is harming ourselves. And so he tells us, he says, let go, put off all of your resentments. But then he said the second part of this, the other side of this coin, is this. He says to put on kindness. Put on kindness. So he says in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then in verse 32, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now we understand and we know that we cannot forgive another person until we love them. If we're kind and compassionate, then naturally we're going to forgive, and naturally we're not going to forgive if we're not going to be kind and compassionate. And so that's why he says, be kind and compassionate. That word that he uses for be, I really believe with all of my heart that every single word in the Bible is there for a reason, and the words that he uses are very important. But that word be, in just that one word, it's an imperative. It means it's a command. What he's doing, he's saying, I'm commanding you to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. He said, it's non-negotiable. It's a command. Do this. But also that word be is in the passive sense of the word. Like it's not an active verb, it's a passive verb. So an active verb means that you do something. So Johnny hit the ball. He's being active towards the object. A passive verb means that something's being done to you. So the ball hit Johnny. Okay? And so what he's doing here, he says, this is a passive verb. He says, I'm commanding you to be kind and compassionate and it's a passive verb because he understands that our own strength, in my own power, in deep in my own heart, I'm not naturally kind, compassionate, or forgiving. And so what he's saying, allow the power of Jesus to work in you so that you will be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Because in my own strength, I can't do it. In my own strength, it hurts too much. In my own strength, I can't let go of it. but in the strength of Jesus, I now have the power to do it. So he tells us, be kind and compassionate and forgiving one another. Just the idea of the word forgive is the discharge of a debt. Forgiveness, in its most basic form, is that I am discharging you of the debt that you owe to me. You have hurt me in some way, and I am forgiving you. I'm discharging that debt from your account. I'm wiping it out. I'm saying you no longer owe me a thing. And then listen to how he tells us we are to do this. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Every time, almost every time, 60-some different occurrences in the Bible where it tells us to forgive one another, he balances it with this. He said, forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven you. If God has forgiven you, then you should forgive one another. And parables that Jesus tells about forgiveness, he tells a parable about an unforgiving servant. And the servant comes to his master and he owes the master an exorbitant amount of money. But his master says, I forgive you of all that you owe me. And then that slave goes out and he has just small accounts that other owes to him. And he says, pay that back to me or you're going to jail. Pay it back to me or you're going to jail. And then the one who's forgiven him all of this brings him back in and says, hey, did you just forget how much I forgave you? And yet now you are going and exacting everybody else to pay back what they owe you? And he gives the idea is this. He says, when you think about, when you and I understand all that God has forgiven us in Christ, naturally, we should forgive one another. When I think about the debt that I owe God, and he forgave it, how can I not forgive what somebody owes me? And discharging them of the debt. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, there's really two different types of forgiveness that we talk about. Number one is transactional forgiveness. Transactional forgiveness is this, that somebody comes to me, somebody who has hurt me, they come to me and they say, you know what, I know that I've hurt you. I want to apologize for what I said. I want to apologize for what I had done. I want to apologize for my actions or my attitude or my behavior. I want to apologize for that. And then you say, I forgive you. That's a transactional forgiveness. Somebody has come to me, and many times that's the easier way to forgive. Somebody comes to me, they ask for my forgiveness, and then I grant it to them. I want to talk about the other side of this, which is sometimes a lot harder to do, and that is unilateral forgiveness. So somebody either is unable or unwilling to come and ask for my forgiveness. The Bible is very clear that I'm still to forgive them. You may have somebody who has hurt you and now they may not even be on this earth any longer. So they cannot even physically come and ask for forgiveness. Unilateral forgiveness says, I forgive them even if they can't. You and I have some people in our lives who have harmed us. They've hurt us in some very deep ways. And they're able to do it, but they're just unwilling to do it. They won't come and ask for forgiveness because maybe they feel that they're justified in what they had done, or maybe they don't even realize the depth of how they have hurt you, or maybe they just don't care. And unilateral forgiveness says, I'm going to forgive them even if they don't, even if they're unable or unwilling to ask for forgiveness. And I know all of us have exceptions to this rule, right? If I went around a room, you'd say, well, you don't know what this person did to me. You don't know what this person said to me. You don't know how this person treated me. I don't know that. But I do know that the scriptures are very clear that say it shouldn't be something that we have to really sit down and think about and ponder. It should just be a decision naturally that, well, not naturally, but a decision that is very clear that we are to forgive. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgave you. And so our big idea this morning is this, is forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, I do want to make a distinction here. Forgiveness deals with the past. Like, somebody has done something to me in the past, and I decide that I'm going to forgive them. That's something that was done in the past. Because you've often heard the phrase, forgive and forget. Listen, many times we just can't forget. But we can still forgive. Now, trust has to do with a future. It has to deal with the future. So I can forgive what's happened in the past, but I may not always trust what happens in the future. For instance, let me help you understand this. If I were to come to you and I tell you my deepest, darkest secret, and I tell you, you're the only person on the face of the earth that knows this. Please don't tell anyone else. And then I go out onto my sidewalk and all my neighbors come out and they say, hey, I heard about your secret. Now, I can forgive you for doing that. I may not trust you to tell you anything like that in the future, but I can still forgive you. So forgive and trust have nothing to do with one another, but we are called to forgive just as we have been forgiven. And so how do we do this? I think there's really just four steps that we take. Number one is this, is take responsibility for your part. Now, I want to be very clear about this. Sometimes there are things that happen to you and I that is 0% your responsibility. There are people who have been abused. There are people who have experienced violence that has been perpetrated against them. You are not at fault for this. When I talk about this, what I'm talking about are those common interpersonal conflicts that we have with one another. And both of us, both parties may be holding resentment because of what has happened. And the idea here is if I'm going to forgive somebody, the first thing I've got to do is understand what was my part in this. Maybe what I shared with them wasn't as clear as it needed to be. Maybe I didn't give them the directions. Maybe I didn't share with them my expectations. And now they have done something that has hurt me. Whatever my part in that is, if it's just 5% of the reason why this has happened, I've got to own 100% of my 5%. And when I own my part of it, it becomes much easier then for me to forgive the other person. So take responsibility. And then number two is this, is just decide. Make the decision, just decide that I am going to forgive. And listen, he says it's a decision because that's why he commands us to do it. Because you can decide to do it or not do it. And so he says, if you're going to forgive, you've just got to make the decision that I am going to forgive this person. And then number three is never again bring it up in a harmful way. We like to do that, especially in a marriage relationship sometimes. Like we hold that forgiveness in our pocket as a trump card. So when something comes up, we just throw it out there on the table and say, hey, remember when you did this and I forgave you? Forgiveness says, I'm never going to bring this up in a harmful way. We can talk about it again, but in a healthy, productive way, not in a harmful way towards one another. And then number four is seek to be reconciled. Forgiveness is the first step in reconciliation. Just because I forgive somebody doesn't necessarily mean that our relationship's going to be reconciled. Right? Like, I can forgive you, but our relationship may not be patched up right away or even ever, because sometimes it's just impossible to do that. But the step that, the biblical step of forgiveness is, now that I've forgiven you, let's now try as hard as we can to seek to be reconciled to one another. Because that demonstrates the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us and then reconciled us to God. In the same way, he's calling us, of course, to forgive, and if at all possible, to be reconciled to one another. Forgive as you have been forgiven. So what do I want you to do? Is just simply decide to forgive somebody who has hurt you in the past. Whatever that is, decide to forgive that person who has harmed you. Somebody who has said something to you, somebody who may have hurt you physically, whatever it is, they've hurt you relationally, psychologically, just decide I'm going to forgive them. And there is, I guarantee, people who have done this can give you testimony after testimony after testimony how freeing it was for them when they learned and they decided to forgive another person. There was a couple that they got married, and they decided after they married, they realized that, you know, my wife is nothing like me or my husband's not like me. So they decided what they would do is for the entire first year that they were married, they had what they called a fault box. Okay, and in this fault box, if the wife did something that made the husband upset or angry, he would write that fault on a piece of paper and stick it in the box. And then if the husband did anything that harmed or hurt his wife, she would write it on a piece of paper and put it in the box. And then what they decided was at the end of the year, as the year end came to a close, they would open the box and read the faults that they had towards one another. And so the wife opened the box first, and she read, you know, the first one was, you know, you made me late for a meeting. And she put that aside. She opened the next one, you know, you let the car run out of gas. She put that down. She opened the next one, you left my tool outside in the rain. She put that down. One by one, she opened all of these, and she started to cry, and she said, I'm really sorry for doing that. And then she slid her fault box to her husband, and he took out the first piece of paper, and it said, I forgive you. He took the next one and opened it and said, I forgive you. He took the next one, opened it, and it said, I forgive you. You see, she decided right off the bat that whatever he did to harm her, she was just going to forgive. And that is what God has asked us to do today. To forgive one another, be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgive one another, forgive as you have been forgiven. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that all of us in this room at one point or another have been hurt. And some very, very deeply, and maybe a hurt that nobody else in this room could even begin to understand. But we're thankful that you do. We're thankful that you understand the pain and the hurt and the disappointment of being betrayed, the hurt of being lied about, the hurt of being stabbed in the back, the hurt of just being abandoned. But yet you have still forgiven. And God, I pray for each and every one of us here this morning, the deep, powerful act of forgiving, that we would decide to forgive. That we would be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. That we would forgive as we have been forgiven. So we thank you for the ways in which you have forgiven us. We ask for your supernatural power to indwell us so that we can forgive others. Ultimately, so that we can experience freedom, but also so that you would receive glory and honor and praise that is due your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.